Okay, the big question, where in the world is Brian Laundrie? That's where we bring in forensic psychiatrist Dr. Carol Lieberman, also known as America's Psychiatrist. And let's not forget the fantastic book, the author of Bad Boys, Why We Love Them, How to Live with Them, and When to Leave Them. The aforementioned Dr. Lieberman. So great to have you. Hopefully at a more conventional time slot for you. Of course, we're talking with Dr. Carol from the West Coast. I inappropriately had awakened her at around 4 o'clock in the morning the other day. But it's great to have you here on a Thursday, my dear.
Thank you so much.
So a lot has transpired since the last time we spoke, yeah. Right? The determination of the death now of Gabby Petito by homicide. And now the question is, where in the world is this guy, Brian Laundrie? I mean, that is the big question, and I can only imagine what you feel as a forensic psychiatrist and everything else, Carol. I mean, you know, from day one with the silence and the driving back to the parents' home, September the 1st, and the timeline, I mean, this is just, you know, twists and turns like you wouldn't believe here, right?
Yes, if this was a movie, people would say, you know, it's not believable. And now, of course, with the most recent revelation of the neighbors saying that soon after he got home, the parents, and Brian went on a camping trip that they took their camper. He was apparently in the camper, and they went God knows where. I mean, you know, we've been believing the parents, and thinking that just a few days ago he went to that refuge, but it seems like they absconded with him much longer ago than that.
You know, it seems like every hour we got a new piece of evidence, right? You know, the hitchhiker he was picked up, agitated as he was, wanted to get out of the car. You know, the fact that, you know, somebody saw them, the most recent one this morning I heard was that Gabby and he were in a restaurant. And he was arguing with the waitress over the bill in you know, kind of an unusual fashion. You know, sometimes we have a beef with the restaurant over the food, but this guy was kind of going overboard, according to a witness. You know, you have another one where you have a caller saying that, you know, they saw this guy slap Gabby a couple of times. You know, you go back to the first video that we had all seen, August 12th, Moab, Utah, right? The police and the interrogation that took place, and maybe, you know, the cops were saying maybe you guys should kind of stay separately. Gabby in the van of all places, right? And the laundry guy go to a hotel. So, you know, listen, there has been so many signals here, and I thought about you because you understand this better than anyone as far as the signs that have pointed out. And even one doctor where, you know, he's been a very kind of a shadowy guy, right, his whole life. Most of Gabby Petito's friends, this one really got me when I heard this a couple of days ago, never even met him.
Right.
I mean, what does that tell you? Let's start there. What does that tell you? You're in this business of figuring out people's mindsets. What does that tell you right there?
Well, it tells me that he is a combination of a woman abuser. You know, this was domestic violence, and he's a very angry guy. And, you know, usually girls, women like to show off their boyfriend, you know. Either she was, she may well have been afraid that he was going to have one of his tantrums, you know, and show her friends what he's really like. Or he may have not wanted to meet her friends either because he seems like a very reclusive guy. Now, there have been some other things that have come out in the last couple of days. One, did you see about the, apparently he had a Pinterest account that he shared with Gabby and his mother, and he put some really strange pictures on there that show that, and also what has come out is a picture from a realty site when they were putting their house up for sale that showed his bedroom. And both of these things are consistent, both what he put up on Pinterest and what his bedroom looked like. They are obsessed with violence, skeletons, violence, a gun, what looks like a gun in his bedroom. It's hard to tell whether it's, you know, a real gun or just a replica, but a total obsession with violence and with death. And, you know, he, in the Pinterest, he had some pictures of, well, one of them is a picture that was originally a dog, a poster for a lost dog. And it said, don't try to find me. I have finally escaped my master's wicked clutches. To the others, I say, join me, bite the hand that feeds you. And there are other things where it seems to be, then there's a picture of a tattoo, a man's chest with a tattoo that says, do not resuscitate. Doctor, I want to die dignifiedly. So, you know, those kinds of things. First of all, I think there was a lot of violence in his home. Like growing up, I think his father, from all these various signs, I think his father was probably very physically abusive to him, which is also what usually forms a man who becomes a wife abuser or a woman abuser. And then these pictures and so on. It seems like he planned this trip and planned to kill her for quite some time. And plus, you might be interested in this. You may have heard already that he was reading. It came out that someone saw in the things that were posted on the internet. They saw in their vlog that he was reading a book called Annihilation by Jess Vandermeer. Now, it so happens that's a story about four women who go into Area X, which is like an unoccupied or strange an area. And three of the women die, are killed somehow, and one woman just never returns. I haven't read the book, I read about it. But what was interesting is this man, the author, said that he was inspired to write this book when he was hiking in a reserve, National Wildlife Refuge, St. Mark's National Wildlife Refuge, which is in the northwest of Florida. And so I called the FBI. I got to say, when I heard, you know, I mean, he could be anywhere. I don't have a magic ball to tell you where he is. I mean, there are one thing, though, with all these things, it seems like maybe he did plan to commit suicide after he killed her. And in any case, I called the FBI and I said that I thought that perhaps they should look in this refuge, in the St. Mark's National Wildlife Refuge, because if this book inspired him or was part of the inspiration to kill Gabby, then he might well want to kill himself or go to the refuge where the author went. I mean, it kind of makes psychological sense, but I thought it was as good a place as any to look. Because we don't know, it seems unlikely that at this point that he is still in the original refuge where they're looking. I mean, he could be. He could be in France by now. His parents gave him such a head start, he could be anywhere.
He got a head start. So, with that, Carol Liebman, you know, two quick ones here. So, people have kind of asked me why the appeal and whatnot of the... You know, I've always said this thing had a bit of an O.J. feel to it from the mid-90s,
yes.
Doctor. You know, O.J. was a guy, you know, seems to be on the parallels of what you're talking about regarding laundry. You know, jealous, possessiveness.
Yes.
Obviously, a guy who suppressed, you know, some inner thoughts regarding violence. He's capable of that. We kind of feel, and we know he's it came to fruition with Gabby's death here. But, you know, maybe an individual who is fearful if a woman, as of Gabby Petito, would abandon him. You know, I'm just kind of stretching here a little bit with some of this stuff regarding comparisons to the O.J. Simpson deal with Nicole Brown Simpson.
No, it's not a stretch because... in my book, Bad Boys, when I talk about this type of bad boy, the Prince of Darkness, when the book came out originally, O.J. was the big Prince of Darkness. And yes, they do share characteristics. And but I think in a way, really, Laundrie is more obsessed with death than OJ. I think that's why I think that Laundrie, he has much more serious, in addition to being a Prince of Darkness type of personality, he has much more serious kinds of problems. There were also some things about autism, about being burnt out, like being a burnt out autistic person in his Pinterest things, and there's the skeletons, there's this obsession with death, which, you know, I think, and violence, and which I think came from his childhood, where he had a very violent childhood, and this idea of, you know, don't try to find me, join me, bite the hand that feeds you. Well, it would seem like his father was the hand that was feeding him. You know, he was giving him work in his juicing business. I think the house, it was a house of horrors where he was growing up. And now his parents are trying to protect him, you know, trying to give him a head start so he won't be found. Maybe they, you know, feel somewhat guilty for what they, you know, realizing that they in part created this. But it's just deeper and darker than a Prince of Darkness. He's, you know, he's even darker than that. And does he have autism? Certainly. I think I mentioned the last time I was on about how one of her friends, her best friend, talked about how sometimes Gabby would come to stay with her when Brian was having one of his episodes, as she called them, where he was hearing voices and so on. So I think, you know, there is some kind of psychosis going on, whether it's schizophrenia, manic depressive illness, whether he takes drugs that causes these episodes. You know, we can't really know at this time. I wonder, you know, certainly if his parents got him any psychiatric treatment at all when he was growing up, they certainly didn't get enough. And I don't know that they got him any. But what would be, you know, useful at this time is if he did go to see a psychiatrist, the psychiatrist would be the best one to have some clues, you know, as to what's going on. But not that you're supposed to, I mean, obviously patient confidentiality and all that, but under these circumstances, I think maybe that could be waived, at least with her or him telling the FBI. But this is and talking about being a danger to himself, he could also at this point be a danger to others.
Yeah, listen, I would agree. And that's my last thought to you, Doc. Is there any doubt in your mind regarding the parents? You know, you look at them at this point in time, obviously you have to somehow ascertain that they are willing accomplices in all this mess,
yes.
Right?
Yes,
because
absolutely.
You look at Laundrie comes home alone in the car September the 1st, right? The guy's mowing his lawn like nothing happened. You know, and obviously the parents have not spoken. They didn't reach out to anybody. The Petitos, the Schmidts, they try to reach out to them. No, you know, crickets on the other side. You have to figure that maybe there was an intimidation factor here regarding Laundrie's mental capacity and his propensity as far as being a violent guy. Maybe they were just in tune with all that was going on with their son, didn't want to get in his way, fearful of a lot of things here, thus, you know, haven't seen, remember the Tuesday deal where he wanted to go for that hike and they found the car on Wednesday? Didn't even report to the cops. The Laundrie's didn't anything on that Friday. So, in essence, he has a three-day head start here. Any doubt in your mind regarding these two as far as the accomplice factor and everything else?
Well, I think they should be arrested ultimately as accomplices. Obstruction of justice, aiding and abetting, all of that. And I think they should be made, I think they have a good idea, aside from this, whatever psychiatrist he may have seen, the parents would really have the best idea, since they may have driven him somewhere, you know, originally with the camper. But I think they should have to pay for all of this huge expense, you know, sending people looking for him all over the place. They should have to pay for that in addition to being charged with aiding and abetting.
Last one. Is he dead or alive? You've dealt with a lot of cases of this nature, a lot of individuals. In your estimation at this point in time, Brian Laundrie, dead or alive, Dr. Carroll?
Well, you know, originally I thought he would be alive because he's narcissistic and wouldn't want to kill himself, you know, would just get off on leading people on a hunt for a long time. And that's still possibly the case. But now that these Pinterest images have come up and his picture of his room and so on, I'm thinking more like, yes, he might well enjoy this hunt for him and being the center of attention and all of that. But I think maybe he did plan and is planning on killing himself at some point.
Should keep an eye on things as far as
already.
Yeah. Yep. No question. Dr. Carol Lieberman, known as America's psychiatrist, forensic psychiatrist extraordinaire. And folks, the book is The Bad Boys, Why We Love Them, How to Live with Them, and When to Leave Them. Fascinating book. And certainly, it all relates as far as this current story right now. Troubling story beyond for the last 5 weeks or so. Dr. Carol, we thank you again, and we look forward to the next time at a decent hour, hopefully.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.